It's time to defend our title as the best science and medicine podcast. The podcast award nominations start July 1st, so we need you listeners to get DNA Today nominated at podcastawards.com. DNA Today has won for the past 2 years, and this September, we are celebrating 10 years of DNA Today. All of this is because of your support, and we are so grateful to have such an incredible listener base, including you. We have been up against popular podcasts with huge production companies, which is why as a small independent podcast, we rely on each and every one of you to get nominated and hopefully win again for the third time. So please go to podcastawards.com and select DNA Today in the science and medicine category. Pause the show now. I swear it takes 30 seconds to do it. Podcastawards.com, DNA Today in the science and medicine category. Thank you oh so much.
How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made of DNA.
Hi, you're listening to DNA Today, a podcast and radio show where we discover new advances in the world of genetics. From genetic technology like CRISPR to rare diseases to new research, we have you covered. For a decade, DNA Today has brought you the voices of leaders in genetics. I'm Kira Dineen. I'm a certified genetic counselor and your host. I am so excited to share that our guest for this episode is an actor known for playing Brick Heck on ABC sitcom The Middle from 2009 to 2018. He was also recently on Netflix's Never Have I Ever, created by Mindy Kaling. Welcome to the show, Atticus Schaefer.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. This is such a pleasure.
I am very excited. Before we started recording, I was just telling Atticus that my family, we grew up watching The Middle, like especially when I started high school. So this is just really a treat for me to be able to talk to you. Never thought, you know, I'd be able to actually interview you. So this is really exciting.
This is very exciting for me too. No, and being able to talk with you, knowing that you've been doing this for 10 years now, that is huge. I love the dedication to that. I think that's amazing. We definitely need more things like this, more places to share about topics and kind of dive down in a deeper level. So I'm so blessed to be able to be here and talk with you.
Yes, thank you so much. And speaking of doing something for a decade, you were on The Middle for most of your childhood. It was a
yes.
Huge chunk of your childhood. I mean, what was it like to grow up on set, especially working with the same actors for 9 years?
You know, it that's such a great question, because I think that people, so many times people don't really know what goes on to making a production, right? And I get all these different people, especially when I was younger, who would be like, well, it's only a half hour show. But it takes 3 weeks to make that happen. Plus all the, you know, the pre-production, post-production, like the writers writing and storyboarding and all that other stuff. And plus 250 people working on it, right? And growing up, you know, it exactly as you said, pretty much the majority of my childhood and all my teenage years were spent on the show. And I definitely know that I had a very unique childhood. It had its own difficulties, which I think are inherent when you start working at a very young age, but even more so working in the entertainment industry. And so I had a lot to navigate through. And even now, having been away from the show for about 5 years now, you know, it's very... I say the word obscure for lack of a better word, but I know the uniqueness of my childhood, and there's parts of it that I would absolutely never change. And there's parts of it now, being a little bit older and a little bit more of a different perspective, looking back on it, that go, that could have been different. But regardless, I'm very proud of the show and what we were able to accomplish in that time.
I mean, it's such a fantastic show. And I love that you point out how much work goes into each episode.
Yes.
Because, you know, what I'll binge watch and, like, you know, embarrassingly say, like, last night, I think I watched like 4 hours of The Middle of just, you know, just getting excited for this. So it's like, you know, what I binge through of like, how many episodes is that? I can't do math. But when
right.
they're 25 minutes and you're watching back to back, it's like, wow, that was months of your life that I watched in one
exactly.
evening, right? So
Absolutely.
It's kind of crazy.
Absolutely.
And I was really surprised to learn, when I was doing a little bit of research, that the pilot was actually filmed twice, and it was, what, like a year apart or something like that?
Yes.
And you were the only one from that original cast that people probably have no idea about. I don't even know who was in that original cast.
Right.
But just goes to show how perfectly you were cast. I mean, are there similarities between you and Brick with your personalities, your childhood? I mean, a lot of your childhood was playing Brick, so that's
Absolutely.
A part of it.
Absolutely. No, thank you for those compliments. That is so sweet of you. It was one of those things where at the time when we did the first pilot, we knew how good the show was, but it just wasn't quite right. Everybody was very into Carpoolers. That we were going up against Carpoolers at the time, and I think there was a part of it too where the model, as we had discussed previously, was like Glee and all these other different shows that were very popular at the time. My Name is Earl, and shows like that. And so when the first pilot didn't go, it was one of those situations where it just felt like it's not quite over yet. And so getting the call from the creators of the show, like you said, about a year and a half later, hey, we're getting a second shot, but we can't do it without you. You know, you are Brick, and we would love to
you
have
are
you
Brick.
Back.
Yes.
It's like, why would I say no to that? Absolutely. I this is amazing. But no, that the similarities, the reality is, and I think that this is the privilege that an actor gets to have when being on a show for so long, is we really get to put more of ourselves into the character. And when you're writing 24 episodes for 9 years, the writers have taken inspiration from our lives and even the lives
so
of
cool.
our crew who worked with us on the show for the majority of that time. And so, yeah, really, Brick was just sort of an outline. And I could understand him because I loved his uniqueness and he followed the beat to his own drummer. And that's really how my mom advised me to live my life, is to just be yourself and follow the beat of your own drummer and be knowing of who you are. You can grow in yourself and grow in who you are, but know who you are and don't be afraid to be, you know, standing apart from the crowd in that regard. And so I really love that about Brick. And then as the years went by, I was the one who really filled in everything from the whooping to the specifics of his mannerisms to, you know, loving flatfoot dancing and bluegrass music and Legos and history and even the Sergeant McKinsey thing. That was actually something that happened to me in a real
wow.
Halloween experience that I had had. And my mom shared it with the writers saying, look at what happened to Atticus, just as being fun and sharing. And then they took it and turned it into an episode. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool when, as you said, when you're playing a character for so long, when it kind of starts bleeding through of your own life into the character and inspiring
yeah.
into that. And then it's really authentically you kind of like in that episode
Absolutely.
In some ways, right?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
And being able to draw from that, I think it makes it that much more fun, you know?
And do you have like a favorite episode or scene from the middle? I mean, obviously, like, there's just so many episodes.
Right. It's very hard. For the longest time, especially right when the show ended, my brain was still in the mode of making the show. And so it was impossible for me to sit there and go, oh, out of all 200 and whatever, how could I pick just one? But actually in time, as I look back and just think on what we did in the show, I have been able to pick a favorite, both a favorite episode and a couple favorite scenes. It's very hard to pick just one. But favorite
yes.
episode definitely has to be the block party. And that was way back in season one. And I feel like that was the episode where we were finally able to get to know Brick. He wasn't just the kid anymore. Now we understood why and how he does things. And to be able to learn that about him and see who he is and really begin to see the depth of how he thinks, I think that was a very special moment for the family as a whole. And being able to have that be witnessed through the eyes of Mike, Neil Flynn's character, I think was just so perfect. It was such a perfect dynamic. And,
yeah,
and
with
also,
the dad on the show. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And then having that dynamic of him learning to accept his son and who his son is. I think that was very special. But
is that the one where you were like, quote, like someone would say, oh, on this page, what is like the top left line say? And you like were able to like recite it from like the,
it was the
lawnmower
one where they were
manual.
Working. Yes, the lawnmower
yes.
manual.
Yeah,
yes,
that
it was
one.
That
yeah,
one.
That was
yeah,
very
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
I really
like
that
It was
that
so
one.
Precious. But for a favorite scene, you know, unfortunately, there's a scene that was cut from the show. And it was a scene in season 9. Now, there, whenever you're working with a lot of different people, there's always going to be politics involved, and it's incredibly unfortunate because I think that it was a situation that really robbed the show from having a beautiful crescendo moment, even though it was very early on in the season. And it was the scene where in the episode, in I believe it was season 9, where Sue is coming in to save Brick from being locked up in that detention cage.
Mm-hmm.
and this was right after he had broken up with Cindy for a period of time and all that other stuff. There was a scene where it was just him and the principal, and it was another one of those brilliant moments where it was seeing Brick becoming an adult and expressing himself and just kind of being fed up with people trying to make him something he's not. And I think that it really would have resonated with people, and that is probably the scene in the entirety of the show I worked on the most. I was working on that scene wanting to get the emotion right, the performance and everything, for weeks. You know, as practically as soon as I got the script in my hand for that scene, I was working on it. And then working with the director the day of, I mean, we took probably half the day to make that scene happen. And not because, again, there was anything wrong with what was being done. We wanted it to be that perfect because we knew the depth of the scene. And then, of course, the executive producer just... her excuse was it was too good. And then just cut the scene from the show. There was
others... like, thanks for the compliment for, like, the acting ability. But, like, I would like to see that in there. Especially as a sitcom, I think, to have those moments where something is very deep. And I think we see Brick's character in, like, end of season two, early season three of, like... you know, Mike, the dad, like, pushing, like, you need to advocate for yourself. Like, I feel like that's first where we see more character development.
Absolutely.
So, like, full circle is the youngest kid out of the three to see Brick, like, really establish that in the last season of being an adult.
Absolutely. And I think the one thing that did partially make up for that, and so therefore it has become my new favorite scene, is the flash forward of Brick. And spoiler alert to anybody who hasn't seen it, but when he becomes an author as an adult. That is probably one of the only scenes that I had a very heavy influence in how it went in the show. And I'm very blessed by that. I pitched in originally, there was one shot of the kid coming up to Brick, and it was just the back of my head. Brick never spoke, and the kid didn't hardly say anything at all. It was just an establishing shot that Brick is an author with the voiceover, and that's it. But I had pitched with the director to Eileen, who is the executive producer of the show, hey, I can change my voice and sound like an adult because I am one at this point. I was like 19. Right. You know, let me have a line, and Tyson, our makeup guy, can do anything, stick a beard on him. And then I even was able to have the Easter egg put in of Brick having his wedding ring on because he and Cindy are married. And so that's probably my favorite scene now, because it was a great way of being able to finish out the character and kind of have him be completed, you know, and that in that beautiful, he ended up all right and he did his thing like Frankie always said he would. So
right. PerkinElmer Genomics is a global leader in genetic testing, focusing on rare diseases, inherited disorders, newborn screening, and hereditary cancer. Testing services support the full continuum of care from preconception and prenatal to neonatal, pediatric, and adult. Testing options include sequencing for targeted genes, multiple genes, the whole exome or genome, and copy number variations. Using a simple saliva or blood sample, PerkinElmer Genomics answers complex genetic questions that can proactively inform patient care and end the diagnostic odyssey for families. Learn more at PerkinElmerGenomics.com. HemaShare Therapeutics is dedicated to developing therapies that help improve the lives of patients with rare genetic diseases. HemaShare scientists have developed an investigational therapy to treat methylmalonic acidemia and propionic acidemia. These ultra-rare genetic diseases lead to the rapid buildup of toxins in the body. Patients can suffer from intellectual disability, liver, kidney, or cardiac disease, and other life-threatening conditions. HemaShare is conducting a clinical trial to assess if their drug may be effective in the treatment of both methylmalonic acidemia and propionic acidemia. Learn more about HemaShare and these ultra-rare metabolic diseases in episode 188 of DNA Today. You can also visit HemaShare.com. That's HemaShare.com. I think a lot of your fans may not realize that you have a genetic disorder because they don't remember that explicitly ever coming up for Brick,
right?
In terms of that, you know, being defined or part of his character. But can you share a little bit about osteogenesis imperfecta?
Absolutely. So, exactly as you said, it's a genetic it's a genetic bone condition, but it essentially affects the collagen in my body. Osteogenesis imperfecta is a very big Latin word that literally says what it translates to from Latin to English. It's imperfect bones. So the collagen in my body and the structure of my body is a little bit different. The slang for it is brittle bone disease. So in my life, I have had a lot of fractures. I've had to have a lot of corrective surgeries. I have a lot of metal hardware, specifically in my legs. So TSA loves me. But I've had a lot of difficulties in my life, and this is a genetic condition that I know we're going to get in more to this in depth as we continue to talk, but my mom does have it. Her mother has it. My brother has it. And again, all varying types and degrees. His kids don't have it, believe it or not. And then my mom has two siblings, and they did not have it either. So it's a very weird condition that is it's known a little bit more now, but it really is still not widely known, and it wasn't when I was growing up. And it's funny because you even brought it up that it Brick did not have OI. Brick was just a quirky kid. But I remember specifically in season one when we were finishing up the show and we were starting to do the publicity to publicize the show. Eileen had come up to my mom and explicitly said, don't talk about Atticus's condition ever. Act like he's normal and,
That's a powerful thing to say to someone, like a parent of a child with a genetic disorder.
I know. And that was something that I think we adhered to for a brief period of time. But then my mom and I both realized, you know, I'm given this platform that can be used for good. And it should be where we encourage other people with this platform. And whether that be with genetic conditions, physical, difficulties, mental difficulties, even just emotional difficulties, because those kind of go hand in hand when you have physical ones. I think that it was really important. And right around season three, we really just said, you know what? No, let's be real, be open and honest, but have the right environment to do it. And we did.
Yeah.
So.
And such a great thing, and just thank you on behalf of the community for being someone that is comfortable in speaking out and being a patient advocate. I think
thank you.
Just so much that is added to the community when we have people that have conditions that can speak about their experiences and, you know, be able to inspire others. When it came to your journey, when were you diagnosed with OI? Was it early in childhood? It sounds like, you said by, season three, you were already advocating.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so my mom, when she, grew up, she was aware that she had OI. Her mom, who also had OI, was never diagnosed. And they actually just told her mom that she, I believe it was rickets. They just said, okay. Oh, well, you have rickets. Your bones are just more fragile. You need to eat this. You'll be fine. And my grandmother worked in a factory. She worked in the Lockheed factory just fine. She would complain of back pain, but that's about it, right? And then my mom, she was never formally diagnosed either by a test, but she had a doctor who essentially said, oh, well, you have OI. This is why you break and you dislocate. But at that time, there was only two types. There was type 1, which is you have it. There's type 2, which is you had it and you died in childbirth. Meaning when you're born, you're deceased. And so she was typed as a type 1. Now, when I came along, then it became 4 types. And I got typed via skin graph at NIH, okay. National Institute of Health. And they told me that I was a type 4, which that alone kind of blew my mom away because she was told that she would never have a type worse than what she was. And she's a type 1. So type 1 is a little bit more mild and type 4 is more severe. Now, when you go through the typing of OI, a few years ago, back when I was still on the show, they said that there were 8 types, and now they're not typing anymore by those 8 because those 8 they found had subtypes. So it's essentially countless now.
Yeah.
Of the variations of OI that can be had, and you have people that get the mutations, no one else in their family has it, and all this other stuff. And so it really is interesting to see, because if you were to look at me, my skeletal structure is a little bit different, and I'm more of a hobbit, as I say, because I'm on the shorter side.
I watched that video recently, and I was like, just comedic genius.
Thank you.
Like, this is hilarious.
I appreciate that. Yes. Thank you. But no, you look at
We'll link to that in the show notes so people can enjoy that.
Perfect. I love that. No, but you look at me, and I look like a hobbit. I've definitely, there's something different about me. Now, you look at my brother, he looks like he's part of a biker gang. I mean, he's 5'8 and 200 pounds, and he's a big boy and doesn't have any of the issues. If you look really close, you can see some scars from previous surgeries, but that's about it, Right. So, and I had attended an OI conference once, and my mom and I both had the pleasure of actually being able to speak at it. And when we did, that was huge, because now you see a whole menagerie of all these different types of people,
like,
with OI.
The spectrum, I would imagine, absolutely, is probably there.
Absolutely. You get these people who are incredibly tiny with the barrel chesting and incredibly blue sclera, and it's like, okay, that's that type. And then you get people that look like they're completely normal. It's like, wait, you have OI? I would never have guessed that. And then you get the people that are the variations of each, you know. So it's really fascinating.
Yeah, it definitely is. And just how much things have changed in terms of how we categorize and with the different types. And right. Now it's like, all right, we're moving away from that, it seems like, and more just describing it. Because for a lot of the types, it can go from mild to severe, like including right. type 4, which you were like originally diagnosed with. And, you know, around the time of your diagnosis, there was a doctor who warned your mother you'd probably be using a wheelchair to be mobile, which didn't right. end up happening, if I'm right. correct. How do you wish, and from hearing from your mom over the years, how do you wish that this doctor and other doctors would approach this conversation in terms of providing information on OI and having a balanced structure to this conversation and not having blanket statements like that?
You know, that is such an excellent question. And I want to be fair, that we always... So many times nowadays, people are not necessarily fair and look on the other side of the fence. So to preface my answer and actually to give more insight onto that story, let me just say that, admittedly, they have to be in possession of information in order to tell it more eloquently. I'll start with that. But diving in deeper to that story, you know, when I came out, I, admittedly, being my parent was an absolute nightmare for my mom. I am saying that, not her. But it's because she's now in possession of this child who she adores, but is in constant pain. And there were times where she would lift me up and I would break. That's how severe my OI was. And so, you know, her thinking, which is exactly how my thinking is now, is we need to fix the problem. I want my child to be pain-free and to be functioning. And when we didn't have resources of OI knowledgeable doctors to actually assist me as a ped, as an infant, and then go up from there. And so she was just starting at square one, which is, what is my biological father's insurance, and go and start there. And that was where we had this doctor who was manipulating my legs, and I'm screaming on a table because he's breaking me as he's manipulating me. And my mom is saying, stop, because you're hurting my child. I need you to help my child. And then he turned around and essentially tried to bite my head off, or my mom's head off, verbally with, Mrs. Schaefer, you need to get a grip on the fact that your child is going to be in a wheelchair the rest of his life. And that is so not true, number one. I mean, like you said, that's a blanket statement that is unfair. Number two, my mom went into full-fledged mama bear mode and proved him wrong, which I am so grateful for. And through a long course of events, you know, we were finally very blessed by God to be able to find the doctors that I needed to see to get me the help that I needed. And eventually, and it went from I'm not in pain anymore to now I can scoot, to now I can crawl, to now I can walk, which I didn't walk until I was 6 years old. But to directly answer your question, even now, my mom is having to deal with medical doctors who are supposed to just be focused in one area. And yet she references it as like they're cursing her with these blanket statements that are uneducated and unfair. And I really think that doctors who want to, whether they're addressing OI or really any genetic disorder, the reality is every human being is different. Our DNA are different.
We all have mutations, right?
Absolutely.
Like average, we each have like 12 or something around there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's exactly it. You know, we are each unique people. And I think that doctors need to go in with the understanding of, let's treat the patient and the problems that they're specifically facing, not just, well, the report says this. Yes, you need to research. Of course you need to research and see where there's constants and whatever, because that's how we grow in knowledge in the medical field. But also understand you're still dealing with a human. And if you are a doctor who is in one area, don't try to be an expert in another area and make statements about that. Like a prime
example. That's why referrals exist, right?
That's it. Yes. But even so, you know, just because you work with someone doesn't mean that they're the best. And that's another huge thing. So we actually began to see a geneticist. I won't name names, but we began to see a geneticist in our health system now who we actually thought was an orthopedic doctor because of the way that she was carrying herself, and she wasn't. She's just a geneticist. And she referred us to a spine doctor who, because my mom has an injury in her back, and so we needed to have some insight on this, and this occurred last year. And this spine doctor essentially had one answer for everything, which is to do a scoliosis surgery. My mother and I both have scoliosis, and we've been living with scoliosis our whole life. When you have OI, if you understand the depth of what a scoliosis surgery is, you don't want to do a scoliosis surgery on a patient with OI because it will fail. And this doctor...
In terms of like the bones being able to heal for themselves, is that one of the factors?
And keeping those anchors in that keep the rod in place, etc. It's not a long bone where you're just sticking a rod into a long bone. This is different. And if this goes wrong, this can paralyze somebody, right? Because you're talking about a critical area of the body. And this person's answer was essentially for anything, oh, well, you need to just rod it, and that's it. He wasn't going in deeper with all the different aspects of a neurosurgery or a spinal surgery. My mother went outside of the system because, again, this was supposedly the expert on OI for this particular person's referral, who was referring, I should say. And we went outside the system, saw two other neurosurgeons, and learned, no, the answer is not to rod the back. Here's
and
this
that's
list
so
of
scary
answers.
Because you could have just, your mom could have been like, okay, this is what you're telling me, go for
yes.
the surgery, and then had major problems from that, including
Absolutely.
Paralysis.
And that's the depth of it. And you just hit the nail on the head here. And I think that any doctors who do listen to, you know, this podcast or hear this information, they need to understand you might be okay. You might be a healthy human being, but you're dealing with someone who isn't. And you need to not only respect that, but you also need to not abandon someone in that. My mom, she's a person with OI, and she runs a homestead here. We live on a homestead. She's working with chickens, walking up our acre of property, and she's a high-functioning person, despite having OI. So again, they need to keep that in mind and not give up a person to their age or to their condition, but rather be open. You know, it's time to do research and learn new things and do what you're supposed to do as a doctor and try to help that patient. And if you can't, admit that you can't and try to get them to who can. I think that's the way to have a successful medical system, is to actually work to try to fix a patient and not just, well, we could do this and it might be a Band-Aid.
Yeah, all about personalized medicine. I think there's
yes.
been a big shift in this, like since 2019, since the middle started,
Absolutely.
Of like looking at, okay, let's look at all this data, but see what fits for this patient.
Yes.
And then apply it to that
Absolutely.
Patient. And certainly with, like, as we have been talking about, like even with like genetic testing for people that are diagnosed in that way, you know, looking at, okay, well, for this mutation, this is what's going to work, you know,
yes.
related to that.
Absolutely.
HemaShare Therapeutics is dedicated to developing therapies that help improve the lives of people with rare genetic diseases. HemaShare is currently conducting a clinical trial for a potential new treatment for two ultra-rare genetic metabolic diseases called propionic acidemia and methylmalonic acidemia. Learn more about HemaShare and these ultra-rare metabolic diseases in episode 188 of DNA Today. You can also visit HemaShare.com. That's HemaShare. PerkinElmer Genomics is a global leader in genetic testing, focusing on rare diseases, inherited disorders, newborn screening, and hereditary cancer. Testing services support the full continuum of care from preconception and prenatal to neonatal, pediatric, and adult. Testing options include sequencing for targeted genes, multiple genes, the whole exome or genome, and copy number variations. Using a simple saliva or blood sample, PerkinElmer Genomics answers complex genetic questions that can proactively inform patient care and end the diagnostic odyssey for families. Learn more at PerkinElmerGenomics.com.
I mean, you've already provided, I think, so much insight and advice for people in the community, but do you have any other advice for kids or other people with OI or other disorders that include short stature?
You know, absolutely. And this is kind of the part where, I'm speaking as me, and I'm grateful that you're giving me the opportunity to speak as me. But, you know, we live in a world that has all different types of people, and unfortunately there are people who are ignorant to what it's like to have a condition like this and to view and interact with a small person, and there's people that are not, and they're more empathetic and they're more compassionate and understanding and can understand this is just a person, even though they look differently from me. And a big thing that I've had, especially when it comes to the short stature, you get a lot of people that try to, what I call, kidify you. They try to make you out to be, you know, younger than you are, or stupid, or, you know, uneducated, or whatever. And that's very unfortunate, but it's real. And you are going to have to go through your life really being your own advocate. Plain and simple. I've kind of accepted the fact that in my life I have had and will continue to have to be a fighter and have that warrior spirit. If I don't champion myself, no one else will. And so you do need to kind of take that on with acceptance. And you know, when you go through your teenage years, there is a little bit of that where you can get angry. And my mom conveys to me all the time where growing up, when she would see other people with OI, there's a lot of them that can get very angry. And that's a lot of depression. That's a lot of, you know, anxiety, especially with when you have something where you can literally get harm done to you for the simplest things. And so I've definitely felt that. I've experienced that, but it's not something to live in. And the sooner that you can just have that self-confidence of knowing who you are, and while there are things that are within your control that you can grow in for yourself and better yourself, understanding that there are just some people who won't understand, and that's fine, and you don't need to take on what they are trying to inflict upon you, that's key. And then, but the biggest overall thing, and this is for me, is my faith. I'm a Christian, and the Bible is all about saying, I made you the way I wanted you to be made. There's nothing, air quote, wrong with you. It's that you are who I made you to be, speaking as if it was God. And so my faith is very important to me, and the more I grow in my faith, the more confidence I'm able to have in myself. I am getting a new body when this is all over, and I am eventually going to know what it's like to be pain-free and without OI, and that's wonderful. But in the meantime, I've been given this challenge, and it has only been used to make me stronger as a person, as a man, and I love that, because now it's taken this thing that could absolutely go haywire and be negative, and it's been turned into a positive. And even more so because I've been blessed with a platform, not only in the acting world, but in what I do now with the content creation business, where I can communicate with people who have all sorts of different challenges and can be someone that can be an encouragement to them and say, look, don't let your challenges define you. Work within your limitations, which admittedly, we all have limitations, whether you have a genetic condition or not, but you can work within them. And when you work within them, you can thrive. And that's so beautiful to be able to do and find out for yourself. And now, to me, life is an adventure. Okay, I can't do these things, and that really stinks because it kind of hurt finding out I can't do these things. But now I know I can do these things, and now I can just focus my energy on that. And now it's positive.
Well, that is just beautifully said. I think that's just so inspirational. And I'm just so glad that you are someone in the community for people to look to, especially kids. I think that's something that, you know, growing up, we want to see in the media that there's someone like us out there.
Yes.
And especially someone like, you know, you playing Brick, someone as fun as Brick and just so quirky and so great. I mean, to me, you carried the show. Like,
Thank you.
Just from my perspective, you know, just so many great things, like the whispering, just everything. It's just such a unique character.
Thank you.
And as you were mentioning, since 2019, you've been very active on YouTube and Twitch.
Yes.
Under Atticus Schaefer Vlog. What games do you stream on there?
So I love variety. And that's what I really, I think that's where I found my success is taking my channels and kind of making them into a variety show. So we kind of do different things all the time. I'm definitely a typical guy. I love my action stuff. So, you know, games like Escape from Tarkov and Days Gone, you know, slaying some zombies. But even stuff like Minecraft and silly things like that. There was a game that we played that was called Death Road to Canada. And it's a little like pixelated zombie game, but Canada is safe. So you're going from Florida to Canada. And even in that, I was able to take members of my community and make them into characters who would assist me in the game.
Oh, that's so fun. You know,
we do a whole bunch of different stuff on the channel, and so we have a ton of fun. Recently, I've gotten into Poppy Playtime because I have a friend of mine who recommended it to me, and apparently people love watching me get terrified. So that's fun for those people. And then I really love this game recently called Hunt Showdown. It's kind of a period piece, but ooh, same thing. You're fighting like these monsters and zombies and stuff like that, but you're like a cowboy bounty hunter in the early 1900s. So it scratches my history nerd itch. But yeah, a whole bunch of stuff. I stream 3 times a week on Twitch every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday. And then on YouTube, I do videos all the time, mostly humorous-based. But of course, I have some serious talks in there, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. We're definitely going to put a link to the show notes if people want to go right there right now, though. It's yes. Atticus Schaefer, VLOG. And I have to ask before we end.
Yes.
So I was watching Never Have I Ever because Mindy Kaling, just anything she creates is just, I know I'm going to love. So I never even question. I don't look what it's about. I'm just like, go, let's watch this.
Yes.
And then I was like, oh my gosh, it's Atticus Schaefer. Like, I didn't expect her to be in the show. And I was like, wow, look at this. How was it? Did you end up working with Mindy at all? Or were you with the other
actors?
I wish I did.
I did because I love The Office. So, I mean, she was legendary in that. And that was like, look, I'm so close to the Office cast now. And it's actually funny.
And we were too young when it was airing, I think, to watch it. So it's like we're part of that, like, rewatch it on whatever platform it's on at the time.
Yes, exactly. Because it keeps changing, right? I just got the DVD set. And now I hang on to that, like, my precious.
I know. I just bought them because I'm like, I can't keep switching around. But anyway, how was it to be on the set and be in that episode?
Oh, it was so terrific. You know, I never had the chance of actually meeting her. She hires excellent people. Everybody
really does.
From the director down to production assistants were the most lovely people that I've had the chance of being able to work with in the industry. I absolutely adored it. And actually, fun fact is we had a PA on The Middle who he left the show because he had a passion to pursue being a stunt guy. And he became a stunt guy. And he was a good friend of mine. And actually, I got him to be the job of the waiter who stops me when I'm stealing the liquor in Never Have I Ever.
Really?
So that's actually a buddy of mine from The Middle as well.
Wow.
And so it was really cool. I was able to work with some old friends again, but also meet a ton of very amazingly talented new people. The cast, the actors were so lovely, so real. And it was such a fun time. I know that they did season 2. I don't know if they've announced a season 3 yet.
I was just gonna ask you. I was like, I haven't seen a season 3 announced, but I'm not as on it.
I would love to be back though. If they had me back, it would be an absolute pleasure. But if not, I made my little splash into that universe.
Well, if Mindy Kaling's listening, Atticus is
please.
Ready to come back. So.
Mindy, bring me back, please.
And so,
so
that
fun.
You'll get to meet. So like when she's on set at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. But they were so much fun. And I think that's so cool that you're able to bring that up and share that. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, check out Never Have I Ever on Netflix. It was fun.
Yeah, it is a fantastic show. And anything else on the horizon other than, I mean, you're really busy on Twitch and YouTube. But
absolutely.
Have you packed anything else into your schedule that you can publicly share?
Let me tell you, I tried to. I'm auditioning all the time for stuff.
Awesome.
And I actually am in the Discovery Plus show, Inventions That Changed History. I got to be a little air quote.
All right, so
expert.
You're a history nerd. Like, you got to, like, really itch
that.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I got to talk about some pretty cool stuff that I'm fairly knowledgeable on. And then I got to learn a few things, too. So that was fun. So definitely check that out. I've also been in quite a few little voiceover things. And I am working on a couple different animation shows now, which I'm very excited about. What I always tell people, and I never thought of this before, but it's so hard to talk about things when you're in the industry because, you know, you get the NDAs and you never know, especially if you're not on it, like you had said, like, you know, when things get announced, you don't quite know when you can talk about something. But the best thing for people to do, go check out imdb.com.
Yes.
It's for the Internet Movie Database. And search my name because they can only put something on IMDb if it's been announced and it's announced that I'm a part of it. So if you're curious about what I'm doing, and again, it's something that's the best way for me to talk about it, or no, I can't talk about it.
Right, that you can just log on before an interview and be like, can I talk about this yet?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let me see here. Oh, that's been announced. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, definitely check that out. That's the best way to stay up to date on what I'm doing acting-wise. Now, I'll say it here first. I'm not quite sure what your lapse is between recording these and
we'll have a little
these.
Bit of time, so
okay,
I think you'll be good.
But I am going to be pursuing directing very heavily.
Ooh, that is very exciting, Atticus. Wow.
I've had a huge passion for directing, and actually I had the pleasure of going through the Warner Brothers Director's Workshop in between the last two seasons of The Middle. And I essentially got a letter of recommendation from the teacher of that class, who's a director by the name of Bethany Rooney. And it was such an amazing experience. Imagine film school condensed down to 9 weeks. That's pretty much what it was. And she was so encouraging to me and essentially saying, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. The acting is great, but you were born to be a director. And I had never had anybody tell me that before in my life. And so I'm going to be reaching out to my agent and really just saying, this is a passion. How can we get this going? So for the listeners, please be on the lookout for that. And also please, you know, keep your fingers crossed for me, because I'm very excited about this.
We definitely will. And I mean, you're young. I mean, I'm young too, but you know, you're young. So you have a long future ahead of you. So I think we're just going to, you know, see you do so much. And I just want to thank you again for coming on the show and just being so open. I just really appreciate that. And I'm sure the listeners do as well, just to learn about, you know, the insider view on your life in all aspects with the acting, future directing, and just living with OI. I think it's just really powerful to hear directly from people that have these experiences.
I greatly, greatly appreciate that. Listen, you have a friend in me, and
amazing.
I would most certainly love to come back. Hopefully I'll have some other projects to be able to share and be able to talk about this more. But seriously, thank you for having me on. This was truly a pleasure.
Yeah, fantastic. And yeah, let us know when your, you know, director debut is, so we can promote it.
Absolutely. Will do.
Awesome.
Don't forget to help us defend our title as the best science and medicine podcast. Go to podcastawards.com and select DNA Today in the science and medicine category. And here's a bonus. If you tweet or post that you nominated DNA Today and, of course, tag us, then we will share your post and give you a shout out on the show as a thank you. Again, that's podcastawards.com, DNA Today for the science and medicine category. You have the power to get DNA Today nominated again. So please go nominate us. I'm begging you. Podcastawards.com. How do you like spending the summer? In my free time, I'm usually with friends at our apartment's pool. My spot is right next to the water, reading a book, most recently A Crack in Creation, which might come up on a future episode. I like keeping cool by sipping on some iced tea while I read, but I don't like all the sugar. So I've been enjoying Sound drinks instead. Sound makes unsweetened organic sparkling waters made with tea and botanicals. No natural flavors or sugar. My fave is the blueberry with cinnamon and hibiscus tea. Try it out by ordering at drinksound.com using promo code DNATODAY for 20% off. Again, that's drinksound.com with promo code DNATODAY for 20% off your order, plus you're supporting the podcast. Speaking of friends in my apartment, a bunch of them have dogs, and I love being able to offer them a treat when I take them for a walk or they visit my place. So I got Sundays for Dogs. Now, this is dog food, but it can also be used as dog treats. My friend Annie's dog Frank gets so excited when he sees me, and if I'm being honest, I think it's more the food than me. Sundays for Dogs is real food formulated by a vet with high-quality meats, veggies, fruits, and superfoods, then air-dried to perfection. Since you're a DNA Today listener, you can visit sundaysfordogs.com and use code DNA Today for 35% off your order. Support your pup and the podcast. For more information about today's episode, visit dnapodcast.com, where you can also stream all episodes of the show. We encourage your questions, comments, guest pitches, and ideas. Send them all into info@dnapodcast.com. Search DNA Today on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, so you can connect with us there. And a favor, please rate and review the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This truly helps us climb the charts and allow more genetic nerds like yourself to find the show. DNA Today is hosted and produced by myself, Kira Dineen. Our social media lead is Corinne Merlino. Our video lead is Amanda Andrioli. Thanks for listening, and join us next time to discover new advances in the world of genetics.
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made.